Well, guys, thanks so much for having me with you. I have been looking forward to being a part of one of your services for quite some time. Jeremy and Amy and I met, it was about 2 years ago, and I heard about their dream to plant a church, and so we decided to become a partner with them and with you. And I pastor a church in the North Hills of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Been there all my life. Big Steelers fan. And I don't know if anybody else in the room is in that category, but big Steelers fan. And my wife and I, we moved there 27 years ago. And we became the pastor of the church where I'm at 24 years ago. So I've been there a long time. And one of the things that we have done over the years is that we felt called by God to help other young men and women who want to start churches to help them do that. And so we have just become sort of a pastor to them. We have invested in that dream. And over the years since 1996, we have helped 65 new churches to get started. Isn't that an awesome thing? It's really exciting. And actually, Redemption Community is the very last church that we planted. But we actually have 30 new church plants that we're partnering with for September. So there's 10 in northern New England, in Maine. And so you're part of a family of churches that's growing. We got something going on in Boston and New York City and Philadelphia and Binghamton, New York, and just all over the place. There are churches just like yours, a lot of times meeting in places just like this with some of the most incredible volunteers in the world who get here early to set things up and then after stay around to tear things down. And I've been in environments like this, and I just got to tell you, what you are doing is making a difference. And I'm here today really not just to preach a sermon to you. I'm here to more deliver a message to you, okay? It's more of a message of encouragement. I have come from Pittsburgh to be able to say, you're not alone, guys. We're here standing with you, and we want you to know that you're a part of a family of churches that are doing the very kind of things that you're doing because they believe in the idea of reaching people. So let me just introduce a little bit more. I'll throw my picture of my family up there. My wife is here. You know, we're celebrating 28 years, and you can see my kiddos on the screen. Jonathan to the far left is 15. Dave, who our youth pastor at our church, is 24. Josh and his wife Allison just got married. When was it? Last week. Last week he got married, and our first to get married. And then my daughter Alyssa, and then you can see my parents, and then on the end Caleb. So we have 5 kids, 4 boys, 1 girl. Only one is married. I have some older kids, so I'm taking applications here today. If you know anybody who's single, and no, I'm just kidding. So, wonderful family God has really blessed us with, and we're very thankful to be with you today. All right, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word this morning. God, thank you so much for this church family. Thank you for Pastor Jeremy and Amy, the vision that they have to reach this area, to pastor this church. We thank you, God, for what has already happened, and even more, we thank you for what will take place. And so as we are gathered here this morning, we come with a conviction that you want to do something in our life today, and that you want to begin something in our life today that will trigger something for the future that will continue to impact our world. And so, God, do that work within our life. We pray in Jesus' name together. Amen. Amen. All right, I want to take you to Philippians chapter 1. And I said to you that I've come here today not so much to preach a sermon, but to deliver a message. And let me give you a little bit of context of what happens in the New Testament. So when we come together, we study the Bible together, right? And the Bible was a document that was written over 1,500 years. And it has the Old Testament, which is the story of the heroes of Israel and God's work through the people of God. And then the New Testament, which is the story of God's work through the church. And towards the end of the New Testament, we have a collection of letters that were written to encourage churches. And this passage that we're going to read right now is from the book of Philippians. It actually was a letter that was written by a guy by the name of Paul, who was a missionary church planter, who had gone to a city in Asia called Philippi and helped to start a church there. And actually, you can read the whole story about the church plant in Philippi in the book of Acts chapter 16. It's a fascinating story about Paul and his friend Silas, who were preaching the gospel and then were persecuted for preaching the gospel and ended up in jail. And they're there in the dungeon. Maybe if you've read the Bible before, you've heard this story. They're in the dungeon. It's midnight. It's dark. They've been beaten. They don't know what's going to happen next. And they begin to worship in the midst of their pain. And God sends an earthquake and lets them loose from the prison. And the jailer sees what's going on, this act of God. He gives his life to Christ. And his whole family gives his life to Christ. And they actually have you know, Jeremy talked about baptism. They actually have a baptism service in the middle of the night where the jailer and all of his family get baptized. And so this church is birthed. And after the church is up and going now, this new church in Philippi, Paul then travels from that place. And he's thinking about that church, you know, miles away from where he is. And he writes this letter, this that we now call the book of Philippians, writes this letter back to these people that were a part of this church that he helped to start. And in this letter of Philippians, at the very beginning, if you give me that passage from chapter 1, he says this. He's writing now, and it says this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So he's writing with affection here. He said, look, we're partners together. We're in this together. We started this thing together, and there's such great joy that we have in what we're able to do together. And I guess I'd say to you, Redemption Church, you know, this is how I feel about you too. I feel such joy. I've never met you before. Some of you I met for the first time today. But I want you to know that from the time that you began to have your first launch team meetings all the way through your grand opening in March and now into June, that you're on my heart every day. So I know we don't know each other yet, but I pray for you all the time. And I want you to know that we are interested in the progress of your life, your walk with God, your family, and the community of faith that's developing right here. And so I just wanted to come and meet the people I've been praying for, you know? It's great to be able to see the worship team and the anointing in the room. Wow, you guys have a great worship team. I mean, honestly, Justin, is it Pat, right? Pat and Jeff and Amy, incredible. I mean, you are blessed, don't you think so, to have such great quality in the way that you have worship going on. And then your pastor and his wife, Jeremy and Amy, I mean, I would love to have them as my pastor. Aren't they great people to be able to have them looking in on you and spending time? You're at the part of you're the journey as a church where you get to be a part of the startup of something. And so I feel this way about you. And then this verse right here, this is what I came to say to you today, verse 6. And if you feel comfortable reading out loud, why don't we read verse 6 until the end? Can you read that with me? Okay, just before we start, just turn to your neighbor and shake them awake so that they know they're supposed to do something here. All right. Yeah, so let's read this out loud together. Read with, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is what I came to say to you today. Here's what I came to say. The same God that starts something in your life is the God who will complete it.
Amen.
What God begins in you, he will finish. He is not going to give up on you. He is not going to stop working in you. You cannot disqualify yourself from his interest. What God starts in your life, he is interested in bringing to completion. And I know we wrestle with this, okay? There are different feelings that we have about this whole concept of our relationship with a personal God. And we read verses like this, and it sounds encouraging, being confident of this, that God who starts something in my life will carry it on to completion until the day Jesus Christ comes back. And then we think about our personal experience, and we feel a little bit like, but okay, sometimes I wonder if maybe I've made too many mistakes in my life, or I continue to make too many mistakes in my life, and that somehow God's eventually going to say, you know what, if you were doing a little bit better, if you were trying a little bit harder, if you had just been a little more successful with what I already gave you, then, you know, I would continue to work in your life. But this is a promise that isn't based on condition here. The promise is this, that what God starts in your life, he will complete. You see, his commitment to you is not based upon how well you can do on your own with what he gives you. His commitment to you is just simply based upon his desire to do something amazing in your life. Can you imagine if God made up his mind whether or not to continue to work in our lives based upon how well we did? He would probably be doing very little in the world, because most of us have moments of failure. Most of us have moments we're not proud of. Most of us have moments when we're up and down and inconsistent. So you don't disqualify yourself by having a season where you wish you were doing better. Aren't you thankful for that? And maybe you say, okay, but Jeff, I'm looking around at my life and this promise you say, you know, he's committed to work in my life no matter what's going on. I look at some of the events, you know, and maybe even you've had this experience. I've talked to so many people who they'll take steps toward God. Maybe you just recently started coming back to church as this new church got started, and you take some steps toward God. You pray a prayer to give your life to Christ, or you get baptized, or you start to serve. And there's almost this expectation to say, you know, as soon as I start to take some steps of faith, then my life should get a bit easier. You know, because as soon as I get right with God, as soon as I start to give or tithe or serve, or as soon as I begin to take, then, you know, life should get a bit easier. I remember, you know, early in the stages of this church plant, before really Jeremy and Amy had met anybody here in this community that would be a part of this vision. And, you know, Jeremy and Amy moved their family from Buffalo and made some big sacrifices and sold a house and looked for a place to live. And I remember in the early stages when we were talking together, there was this feeling like, you know, we moved over here. And I remember Jeremy said, we moved over here and we made all these sacrifices and this just isn't going anywhere yet. And I mean, come on, shouldn't it be easier than this? I mean, with the sacrifice we're making, I remember having conversations with your pastor to say, hey, you know what? This whole thing that we're doing in planting a church is a walk of faith. Amen. Everybody say the word faith. Faith. Do you know what faith is? Faith is the absence of visible evidence. Faith is believing something in the absence of visible evidence. Faith is looking at your world and saying, this is what I believe God's going to do, but I see no reason, logically or visibly, to believe that this can happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we look at our life and we say, God, you promised that the work you began in me, you're going to carry it on to completion. And yet as I look at my life, I say, I see no visible evidence that any change is occurring. You want me to believe for my marriage to change? You want me to believe for my kids to come back to God? You want me to believe for these bills to get paid? You want me to believe for a healing in my body? God, I want to believe for that, but I look at my life and I say, I see no visible evidence, no logical reason why I should believe that you're going to do this in my life. But faith lays hold of that which is not yet visible and yet has been promised by a God who can do anything. Amen. Let me just say that again. Faith lays hold of that which has been promised by God but isn't yet visible. So we hold on by faith. We say, God, do what you promised you would do, and we lay hold of it by faith, and that's how we access it in our everyday experience. So we think, you know, okay, I might have disqualified myself, I failed too much, or we think, you know, I'm not sure I see any reason why I should believe that God is going to complete the work in my life, or maybe even sometimes you feel a little bit like, I'm not sure even how significant I am. I mean, with everything going on in the world and the 7 billion people who are alive on the planet today and all the things that have to be on the mind of God, do the things that are happening in my life really matter? And this is the part about God that's hard for me to understand, but I'm so unbelievably thankful for it. In that God, he knows you down to the depths. Mm-hmm. He knows everything about you, the scripture says. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. Yeah, some of you guys, that's not a hard addition, the number of hairs on your head, because you don't have any up there. I could probably guess too that, right? So he knows your worst moment and your best moment. He knows the things that you think inside your heart and mind that nobody else even has an eye. Even the person closest to you in the world doesn't know some of the things that you've thought about, but God knows. And yet, he still loves you in a way that's beyond what we could ever imagine. Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross and shed his blood, not just to redeem the world, but to redeem you and me. And he is intimately aware of what's going on in my life. And he's committed to making the work that he started in you come to pass. There's another sister verse to the verse that we just read on the screen. That verse, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. There's a sister verse, a companion verse to that, found in Hebrews chapter 11, which says that God, we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of my faith. Or another way of saying it, he's the author and completer of my faith. So when I put faith in Jesus and I focus on him, not only does he start the work of faith in me, because none of us could have faith without his gift to us, and he gives everyone the gift or the measure of faith to start the journey, but not only is he the author of our faith, he's the completer of our faith, meaning that what he starts in you, he will finish in you. The good things that he's beginning in you, he's committed to carrying out. And we partner with him by faith and obedience, but he continues to work within our life because he is the one who starts the work. He's the one who finishes the work. I hope you're getting the point today. I've come to give you a message. That message is this: God knows who you are. He knows your name. He knows your past. He knows your present problems. He knows your future. And he is committed not just to this moment that you're in today, but he wants to bring you into something better in the future. And now I want to just speak not only to you as individuals. Let me just speak now to Redemption Community Church. What God has started in this place, he will complete in your life. If you consider this your home church, if this is your church family, I want you to just see, you have begun a work of faith. And right now I want you to know this: the God who began a good work and put it in the heart of Jeremy and Amy to move to this place, and then put it in your heart to join in the teams that are going on to make ministry happen, the God who started to birth something in you has a vision not just for this moment that we're in, but has a vision to bring it to completion. And so don't allow for circumstances or challenges to waver, cause you to waver in your perspective of God's commitment over you, because the God who started this good work as a church will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's not because we deserve it, and that's not because we can see evidence of it, and that's not because we feel like the most significant church in the world. That's because we believe in a God who finishes what he starts. Amen? You believe that? You believe in that kind of a God? We're not ending the message, but can we just do something for a moment? Let's just close our eyes. I want you to just put your hand over your heart. And I want you to just, let's just pause for a moment to take hold of this by faith. I want you to just say this out loud. Say, God, I thank you. So say it boldly. God, I thank you for the good work that you have started in my life. And I declare, what you start, you will finish. Finish it in me. Complete your work. Because my trust is in you. Amen. Amen. That's what we're talking about. God, take the good things. You say, I don't know if I see a lot of good things started in my life. I wish I saw some more good things. Well, you're here today. Okay, you're here. You came today. You worshiped today. You're sitting here. You're listening today. You say, yeah, but I wish I saw more. Yeah, but it's not like a lot of the things that God starts, he starts in a small seed. You know, the scripture says, even if you have the faith of a mustard seed, it can move a mountain. So maybe you say, I only see mustard seed size progress right now in my life. Well, if you give God a little tiny piece to work with, he can do incredible things in your life. The more you give him, the more he can do, yeah. But even if you see signs of something small, it begins to be a spark that grows into a mighty flame. So what God starts in your life, he will carry on to completion. So when you leave here today and throughout this week, I hope you'll be thinking that, you know, God, what you start in my life, you're going to finish. I hope you'll be thinking that, because that's the word for the day. I'm just praying the Holy Spirit will take that verse, Philippians 1:6, and just burn it deep within your spirit. Now, let me just apply now our relationship a little bit. I want you to hear this now. God's on your side. He's not going to let you fall. As a church, I want to just tell you a couple things now. Number one, I said this earlier, you're not alone. You're not alone. Okay? You're a part of a family, and we are here for you. Just hear me say this. I want you to know, okay, I'm 7 hours away by car, an hour away by flight. And if you ever need me, I'm here for you. My church family prays for you. We love you. We are committed to you. Just up the road, about 2 hours from here, is a church that started just about the same time as yours in Vision in Newington, Connecticut. And Cedar Mountain Church is a part of our family of churches. And then a little north of that is the Link Church in Boston. And there's some City Reach churches that are down in New Jersey and some in New York City. And so you're part of a movement of churches in this area, and you are not alone. We care about you. God cares about you, and we're standing with you in this journey, okay? You're not alone. I want you to know that. We're here to help you. Now, I'll say it like this, though. You're on your own, but you're not alone. Let me tell you the difference. A lot of partners like us raised money to help you get off the ground and get started. And there was quite a bit that came into the startup of this church, and then you launched, what was it, March 29th, I think, a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Well, you launched strong so that now, basically, you are functioning by your own service, investment, volunteering, and giving. So it's kind of like this picture right here. Let me give you a picture of my... So my son Josh just got married. That's Allison. This is right after the wedding ceremony. I performed the wedding. They were on their way out the back door. And my son chose this music to dance to on the way out. It was the same music that he played in a little video he did just after he asked Allison to marry him. So he's like dancing out the aisle. This is the very last moment just before they left the church. Let me just tell you now, they are out of my house. And when you have kids, you think, you know, one day they're going to graduate high school and then they'll be gone. And they don't actually leave then, especially in our generation. I got a couple still at home that are adult kids, but he's actually out of my house. He's got his own apartment and his own wife. And he is on his own. Hallelujah. If there's a parent in the house, you can say hallelujah, right? He is on his own. Now, he's not alone because I still care about him and I'm helping him and standing with him. He's on his own. But he's not alone. Listen, Redemption Community, you are not alone. You're on your own. This thing will survive because of your investment in it. You're not alone, but you're on your own. That's an important qualification. The second thing I'll say to you very quickly is what you choose matters. Give me point number two if you can. What you choose matters, right? There's a couple of values that we base our network on. And the first is everything we want to be about that one person. That one person who's disconnected from God. We want to do church, but we want to do church in a way that's focused on the one. We hope that one day you have to move to bigger theaters because there'll be so many people in this room that you couldn't contain it here. But the focus of Redemption Community will never be on the crowds. It'll always be about the one. About that one person far from God, that one person hurting, that one person overlooked, that one person in need. You can see this whole pattern of ministry in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He tells this series of parables in Luke chapter 15 about the one sheep, the 99 that were safe, and the one sheep that was at risk, and the shepherd left the 99 go after the one. And then this woman who had 10 coins, and she lost one, and she turned the whole house upside down to find that one. And then the stories end with a prodigal son story about the one son who wanted his inheritance early and destroyed his life and was at risk. And the father was longing for the return of that one boy at risk. The heart of everything we do has to be for people, and especially for people who are hurting. And some of you might be in this room today and you're saying, yeah, I'm that one right now. I'm that one. I'm the one that needs a little ministry. I'm that one that needs some attention. Well, that's why we're here. And before you go today, don't leave without saying, hey, I need prayer. I need to talk to somebody, because everything we do is about the one. And then we hope you'll eventually go from being the one to loving the one, you know, where you receive the ministry and then you say, okay, now I'm going to take what I've received and pay it forward in reaching somebody else. Second thing we value is we value the kingdom. We value the kingdom. I tell you what I'm dreaming about. Jeremy and I have talked about this a number of times, and that is, so you are the last church that God planted. You were number 65 in the journey of all the plants that we started. But there are many more to come. And one day, your pastor is going to go to somebody else's new church that got started, and he's going to deliver the same kind of message I'm delivering today, because you guys are going to be a part of helping other churches in this network get started down the road. Because this is not just about you. By the way, that's a really good thing to say every day to yourself. This is not just about me. In fact, why don't we just say that out loud? Say, it's not all about me. Just say that. Yeah, so it's not all about just this church. It's about what God is doing in the world. And you guys are going to be a force in making a difference. You're at the early stages, but I want you to have a vision. We're going to make an impact on the kingdom. And then number three, it's also about the power of the Holy Spirit. We have this great value. We believe that a God is able to heal and restore and do miracles in the world today. You sang the song earlier. I love the song. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Who are we talking about? Well, you know, God the Father who created it all, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God came in the body of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They're They're the three beings, the three persons of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit lives in the life of every believer. And he is able to explode on the scene at any moment to do supernatural things. Some incredible stuff. I want to actually encourage you guys to pray for something as a church. Here's what I want you to pray. I want you to pray that God will give you some key miracles. People's lives will be so changed that they will become like a walking billboard for Redemption Community and for the power of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. My dad, back in 1965. So here's my story. I actually was born on Father's Day. My dad pastored a very small church in Pennsylvania. And my mom went into labor. And so he drove her to the hospital on a Sunday morning, left her in Erie, Pennsylvania, while she was in labor, drove back to church to preach an hour away. After the message, drove back to the hospital, and I was kind enough to wait until he arrived, and I was born into the world. So I was born after a church service on a Father's Day. Isn't that appropriate for what I ended up doing with my life, huh? So on a Father's Day. And my dad, he actually planted a church just on the eastern suburbs of Pittsburgh 45, something like that, long time. How long is 65 would be, what, 50 years ago? 50. Whew. Yeah, that's how old I am, huh? 51. I don't look that old, do I?
No.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate that. So on one day, it was a church. Church was about your size. Okay, the church is about your size. And someone came into service on an ordinary Sunday. Wasn't a big deal. His name was Paul. He sat in the back. Paul had never, he hadn't been to church in a long time. He was kind of an angry, he was the guy that, you know, you say, you would never even think about inviting him to church because the roof would fall in. You know that guy? You know, the guy just, you know, he's just not coming to church. Like other people go, he is not going to go. He had a bad car accident, broke both of his feet in the car accident. And because he was laid off and at home, he decided to come along to church. Came in on crutches in the back. Not even a Christian. Listened to the whole message. Service ended. My father said, hey, if you need prayer for anything in your life, we would love to pray for you. So his friend who brought him to church dragged him to the front. He didn't want to go, dragged him to the front. Now, this is a huge man. I want you to see him now. He was a trucker. He had barrel chest, tattoos on each arm. I mean, he was a man's man. He's there standing in the front of the church, and he's not happy about it. I don't know if you can kind of pick this up. He's standing there on his crutches. He's just not happy that he's been brought to the front. And so my dad lays his hand on him and prays for him in the name of Jesus that God would heal his feet. And right there at the front of the church, God touched Paul's body and healed both his ankles, which were broken, at the moment he was prayed for. Amen. He began to sense something was going on. He put the crutches down. He was in these kind of walking casts. And so he started putting weight on his feet. He couldn't believe that he felt no pain. And so on this particular day, Paul Kirschbaum, this man who didn't even know Jesus yet, carried his crutches out the back door of the church because God healed both of his feet in a moment of prayer. Isn't that awesome? Yes. How many of you know that's a good day in church right there? Yes. You know you went to church when something like that happens. Okay, Paul then, in the parking lot, prayed the salvation prayer, gave his life to Christ. And Paul had a lot of cousins. When they saw that he got saved, they all showed up the next week.
Cool.
So they went from having about 35 adults on a regular basis to having almost 80 because of Paul's big family. And now the word began to travel and spread about what God was doing in this place because of the release of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, cool thing is, in that same church today, Paul Kirschbaum's son is the assistant pastor.
Wow.
So the power of God released to change somebody's life doesn't just affect that life for the moment. It affects the next generation and the generation to come. See, that's why you've planted this church. It's not just, wouldn't it be a cool thing if we met in the movie theater? Wouldn't this be a great thing if there was a church that had our kind of music? Wouldn't it be neat if we could do some creative things with Jeremy and Amy? No, you're in the business of seeing the power of the Holy Spirit released to change lives. Amen. And not just lives for the moment, to change generations to come and to make an impact down the road. Okay, final point that I'll say is, number three, if we said you're not alone. Number two, your choices matter. Give me the next slide if you would. One more if you can. I think I got one more point in there. Okay, I think that the concept is you're going to make history together. You're going to make history together. Let me just tell you, as the worship team gets ready to come back.